From behind the Redwood Curtain in the heart of Humboldt County, it's the Carol Escobar Show. Tonight, Carol interviews author Brian Radzin and goes out on the town for Arts Alive in Eureka. And now, here's Carol.
Welcome to the Carol Escobar Show. Oh, it is the month of November, and that means Thanksgiving. Well, we are thankful for so many things, especially for you tuning in to watch us this evening. So sit back, relax, and let Humboldt County entertain you in our own unique style. A trained journalist, my guest this evening, has just completed his first full-length novel. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show Mr. Brian Radzin. Hi, Brian.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm doing great, and I'm very excited that you came on our
show. Thank you.
We're going to talk about your book,
yes.
Your very first full-length novel that you've written.
I'm very excited about it, yes. A lot of hard work, but definitely worth it. Very happy.
Well, now, I know you've written some shorter stories,
yes.
And you're a trained journalist and everything, but
yes.
I really want to talk to you tonight about the journey of writing your first novel. I mean, what the heck? How does that even start?
Well, it just starts by actually sitting down and doing it.
That would be helpful.
You know, yeah.
Not just thinking about it,
well,
but
sure.
Oh my gosh, doing it.
Yeah,
okay.
definitely. Because I had the want to do it for a long time. Always wanted to write a book. I had a goal to publish my first book when I turned 30 and to do a book a year to kind of set a commitment for myself.
Now, you know, I don't usually ask people their ages,
sure.
But did you make it by the time you're 30?
Yes. Yes, okay. I did.
Excellent.
I did. And now this is my fourth book. I just turned 33. And I've had conversations with my mom before just about that I'm not as far along in life as I'd like to be, or if I see other people being more successful than I am. And she just makes sure that she's reminded me that if I turn 40 and I've written 10 books, it's bound to lead somewhere. Just not sure yet, but
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to be clear because I did introduce this book as
yes.
your first full-length novel.
Yes.
But you've written some shorter stories that were published as books?
Yes. Well, they're kind of short essays.
Okay. People,
you can randomly flip through and read a couple, just kind of almost journal entries dealing just with all different social political subjects.
Okay.
Something basically to grab people that don't have time to read a whole book. They can flip it open, read for a few minutes, get some positive thoughts going on in their head and stuff for their day. So
these shorter stories were published.
Yes.
And can you also find them online? I mean, could you read them like as an ebook or something?
I haven't put them together as an ebook yet, only because it requires a separate ISBN number and everything. And just me kind of being a little old school in that fashion, that it's taken me a little while to want to do an ebook.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love the idea of opening up a book, flipping actual pages.
I do too. Thank
yes.
you for saying that.
Yes.
I don't know that I really want to read my books on an iPad or something like
yeah.
that at this time in my life.
Yeah.
But I like physically opening the
mm-hmm.
paper and reading the book.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this book. First
okay.
of all, the title is Search for Truth, The Seeker Begins.
Yes.
And so it sounds like it's going to be maybe a series of books. This is the first in a series. Is that
yes.
correct?
Yes. I plan to do six more books with these characters. And
okay.
without giving the story away, because I hope people read it, of course, you'll see how I kind of leave it open in the end. And there's something part of the larger conspiracy within the book kind of lead you to that end, and you can kind of tell by the end of the book, you'll see it'll, you know, be several more.
So it'll leave readers wanting more
yes.
of this story, more of these characters.
Yes.
It's a political thriller, correct?
Yes.
Would that be a good way to describe
yeah,
it?
Yeah, thriller, conspiracy.
It's not a horror slash
no,
book.
No, definitely
okay, we know
not.
That. Not a romance book.
No, well, there is.
Oh.
It's not a romance book, although it does have some love story in it.
Oh, good.
Yes, and part of that was because of, you know, just making it more relatable to people. And then anybody who reads it that knows me will read it and go, oh, I could tell he wrote that book. But also, I just wanted to include some of the things maybe that I've gone through in my life. I know a lot of authors would tend to do that, just writing about different
have
life experiences.
Have you been involved in a political thriller?
I have not, but I'm very politically minded
yeah.
and just kind of talking about stuff that's going on, and it's
right.
Part
things
of it.
Things that matter to
yes,
you.
Yes, yes. Part of the story in it is has to deal with insider trading and immigration, which is real kind of prevalent right now, and I feel it's current, and people kind of see it, engage that, and be interested in it, whatever side of the political spectrum they come from, because the goal is to kind of bring people together and show people that we can really agree on a lot more than we disagree on. It's just these few little roadblocks that sometimes we place in front of ourselves that keeps us from coming together.
Absolutely. And since you have published this book, which I am so excited about, mm-hmm. because I get very excited when people actually do things that they want to do creatively. Mm. Instead of just talking about writing a book, you wrote a book.
Yes.
So how long have you been wanting to write a book before you finally went, you know what, I don't want my life to pass me by.
Yes.
I'm going to listen to Mom. Mom says, you know what, just do it.
Yeah.
Excellent. So how long did this whole process take you to write this book?
Well, I mean, I've wanted to write for a long time. And like I said, it was the goal when I turned 30. But the actual process of the book, at least with this one, probably only took me about a month to write it, but then about 5 months to edit it.
Right.
Going, reading it over and over and over and almost being sick of it by the time it's ending.
We know that feeling here on the Carol Escobar Show as we edit show after show after show. People are like, do you watch your shows? I'm like, no. And I'll tell you why, because I've spent hours and hours and hours editing it, and I've seen it over and over and over again. So by the time it airs, you know what? I'm done. I'm moving on to something else.
Exactly. And it's a lot of things that people can kind of have in common that are different artists, whatever their medium is. You spent so much time on this project that by the time it's done, it's almost like giving birth in a way. Mm-hmm. It's like you push it out there and you're almost ready to just be done with it in a way. And I love talking about it and people and everything, but I'm very glad it's done at the same time.
Yeah.
A lot of work went into it, but I'm proud.
And how are people able to purchase this book?
All you'd really have to do is Google it. The first three options will bring up Amazon and Lulu.com, which is the distributor I went through, a great independent bookseller. And then the third one down is a Facebook page I set up for the book that people can also find by just typing that in the search bar.
So what are the things do you like to do when you're not writing, or is that pretty much what you do with your spare time?
A lot of time is spent writing, and now is kind of my in-between season until I start the new book. I wanted to cool down a little bit, but I love cooking, love barbecuing. I can follow a recipe. I love making just about anything under the sun. Anybody that's been over for my big birthday barbecue knows that I just make all kinds of crazy food because it gives me a chance to cook like I don't usually cook during the year. Mm-hmm. And us living in this beautiful area when the weather's good, and even when it's not sometimes, love going out the rivers and the ocean and the forest. And I never experienced being able to walk through the woods to get to the beach before.
Isn't that nice? Because we should tell people, you're not originally from Humboldt
County. No, I'm not.
You are here by choice.
Yes, yes.
So how long have you been in Humboldt County? And then we'll ask you, where did you come from?
I've been here about 10 years. And just kind of fell in love with the area. I'm from Southern California and came up here for school, graduated from HSU and everything, and just fell in love with the area. It's interesting. About the first year I was up here, it felt like I was living in a dream and how this wasn't real, and it was just so much different from just everything from down south. And then after a little while, at least, you know, my own opinion, of course, I came to the realization that I think that this place is almost closer to what's actually real, and everything outside is kind of gotten overrun and over. Everything's a shopping center, and there's no mom and pop anything anymore.
Yeah.
And there's 18 million freeways, and going to the beach, you gotta search for your square foot of sand to sit in. And I like how the beaches up here are crowded when you can just see other people.
Exactly.
You know?
Well, I like your outlook on that whole take on this is the real world.
Yes.
Because you know what it could be.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people are living here by choice. So, you know, there's not a whole lot of jobs.
Sure.
Nobody's really getting rich by living here. But it's what we have around us.
It's
our
the
community.
Quality of life, and that's got to count for something.
And the beautiful scenery. And
yes, I
totally agree. I'll take my dogs out for a little romp on the beach, and it's like, oh, my gosh, there's somebody else out here. Put the dog on the leash now.
Yeah.
And I have been to big cities once in a while.
Yeah.
I do get out.
Sure.
And it drives me nuts how everywhere you go, you have to pay for parking.
Yeah.
And to have, you know, people don't realize the arts up here are so affordable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the price of a theater ticket is not much more than it costs to go to the movie.
No,
and
that's wonderful.
You're supporting live theater. You're supporting an art form that is just alive and well and thriving up here. And you don't have to pay for parking usually. So what inspired the political aspect of your book? I mean, other than you've talked about, you have some strong beliefs on, you know, just politics and
sure,
stuff.
Certain issues,
but how
yes.
does your characters come into your head? Are they based on anybody that you know, or
sure.
are they complete imagination?
Well, I would say, I mean, there a couple of the main characters are based on me, some of them just the aspects of my own life, but just kind of paying attention and always asking questions and just stuff that doesn't make sense. One of my favorite metaphors that I use throughout my books, the first few and especially this one, is from The Wizard of Oz, you know, don't pay attention to the man behind the curtain.
Oh, yes.
Because it's, you know, basically like, oh, this power that seems like they're all-knowing and all-controlling and everything. And then you pull back the screen and it's really just a, you know, wrinkled old man that can't do anything, so to speak. And then that's always been the best metaphor for life, in that the people really have the power. The people that feel like they're the powerless, the, you know, whether the working class or the lower class, or, you know, the fact that, you know, the top 2% of people, you know, without getting into too much of a political discussion, when it comes down to it, we're really all striving for the same,
absolutely,
the same place. And what kind of spawned me to do this is kind of seeing the way things are and knowing there's a better place once we kind of let all the fog and the distractions go away. I like to think of it as we can agree on 90% of stuff. It's just about 10% of things that get us caught up. And so we start from this 10% that we don't agree on and say, hey, well, we can't agree on this, so we can't talk about all this other stuff that we can. Well, my goal is, through this book, through talking to people, is to flip that, in that we should start from this whole huge area we agree
on.
We
all have things in common.
We all have things in common. Exactly. Yep. We can get used to talking to each other as humans again, and human beings and everything. And then once we do that, then we have at least a fighting chance at getting past some of these ingrained generational issues that we've been going through.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I wanted to just ask you about the process,
sure,
of actually physically getting a book published.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work for somebody out there that might be watching and going,
sure,
you know what, I'm getting inspired, I've mm-hmm. wanted to write for a long time, but wow, how do you actually get a physical book published? Because this is beautiful. It's a real book, people.
Yes.
It has pages, it has a bind on it. I mean, it's just a beautifully put together book.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So how would you be able to help somebody who wants to follow in that path? They're just not sure which steps to take. How did that come about?
Well, that's one thing that's been great, at least in the lat with you know, technology advances and everything. Because how it was before, you'd have to audition for an agent and then try to make it into a big publishing house and maybe get picked up, and then, you know, nothing would happen. You'd have to go through all these rejections. There are several companies out there, Lulu.com, which is who I went through. Basically, it's real easy. They have many templates. You just supply the files, and it's real easy. The only thing, basically, that you purchase is the ISBN number, which is what federally kind of recognizes the book, so it can be researched and sold in bookstores and everything, and ordered and whatnot. It's real easy. You just go on there, and, you know, all the editing and everything is you know, on you, of course. But then once you put it in, you get a proof back, and your last chance to see what it looks like, of course, before it goes to print, and then you approve it, and then it's out there. So it's real easy. There's no auditioning process. You just kind of put it out there.
You know, for those people,
sure,
out there who have been wanting to write a book, it is very easy these days to mm-hmm. go online, submit your work, and have somebody actually put the book together,
yes,
for you. I
yes.
mean, it might cost you a little bit of money, but it's not going to be anything
no.
crazily out no. of range for most people's budgets.
And I don't have to, really, the only out-of-pocket cost was the ISBN number. How it's set up is great. There's no stockpile of books anywhere, so it keeps the price down. It prints when it sells, so I don't have to buy 1,000 copies when I
right.
first print it and then hope I sell them. I can have 30 books sent out, and then I can order 30 books 10 years from now, and it's totally fine because it's still on there.
Well, you know what I like about this method too is, let's say somebody has just been wanting to do a little small book,
mm-hmm.
Perhaps that they just want their family to read, maybe
sure.
a story of their childhood that they
photo
like
albums,
to pass,
cookbooks, stuff
pass
like that,
down to their
yes.
grandchildren or something. It doesn't have to be a book that you want to publish that you're hoping to sell to the public necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, if you're out there and you've been wanting to put a story down on the paper, Brian is a great role model.
Well, thank you.
Well, and Thank you, Brian, for coming down and speaking
course,
with us today.
Of course, my pleasure. And yeah, anybody out there that would like to do this, it's done very easily. And I know half the thing is having the work together. It's a lot of work and putting it down. And actually, it's really about sitting down and doing it. But it's not kind of getting over yourself, but kind of just really going for it and what you believe in, being conscious and present in the moment of what you want and putting it out there. It's scary for a lot of people to really be out there with how we're all interconnected with the web and everything, but it's really worth it. It's so worth it to see the name in print, your name in print, your words and everything, and having someone pick up the book and read it and say they really enjoyed what you had to say and are looking forward to the next one, or they're going to tell their friends. It's just it's an amazing feeling.
And to me, what's the amazing feeling is just saying, I did it.
Yes.
I didn't just talk about doing it. I didn't just think about doing it. You know what? I did it.
It is
and
possible.
And now when I'm 80 years old, I can like have the grandkids over and say, oh, by the way, did you know I'm a published author? Let me whip out my book for you.
That's right.
I mean, anyhow, the message that I like to get across is, you know what? Don't just sit around wanting to do something, especially creatively in the arts, because that's what we like to talk about
sure,
on our show.
Sure, of course.
Go ahead and do it. It doesn't have to be a huge success. It doesn't have to make you a million gazillion dollars. It's just the fact that you did it. But the best of luck with you on this book. Once again, it's called Search for Truth.
Yes.
The Seeker Begins. It is by Brian Radzin. And it's been a pleasure to have you on our show today,
Well, thank
Brian.
You so very much.
I do hope you actually become rich and famous.
Oh, yeah.
And that it all started here in Humboldt County.
That's right.
Woo-hoo.
That's right. And then I'll have to come back to your show again.
I know, and then you'll be like somebody famous, and I'll be like, no, I'm sorry.
I'll have to have my people talk to your people. And
we'll be more than just signing a release form saying, oh, by the way, you're not getting paid to be here today, Brian. You'll be like, I want my money to come on your show.
Exactly, yes.
At Access Humboldt. And yeah, a pleasure always.
Of course.
You're such a nice man, and
well,
I'm very excited
thank you very
that
much.
You have this book out there, and I hope a lot of people... stocking stuffers, just saying, holidays are coming.
Yes,
up.
It is.
Gift.
It is worth it. It's worth it. You can achieve your goals. You just have to, you just have to go after it. You have to just realize what's really important, and that's putting it out there, putting your best foot forward and just doing it.
All right. Well, words well said. Thank you again taking some time out of your day to come and chat with
of
us
course.
On the Carol Escobar
My
show.
Pleasure.
And we will be right back in just a moment. We went and checked out Arts Alive. So we checked out Brian's book signing and a couple of the galleries. We wanted to give thanks. It is the month of Thanksgiving for all the fantastic artists that we have up here in Humboldt County. So Dawn, my film partner, and I went and checked out Arts Alive.
My name is Natalia Brook, and I live in the Carlota. And I am artist for all this art. And I am from Ukraine, already 11 years live in United States. And beauty of California make me do start painting. Like I was living in Fort Bragg and I take 5 years art classes in Fort Bragg and already 3 years here and I painting and I'm in art council and I enjoy what I do.
Thank you again. It is the month of Thanksgiving, so I honestly say Thank you very much for joining us for this Carol Escobar Show. There is so much going on this time of the year. Oh my gosh, it's the holiday season. The arts are just crazy here. So plan accordingly, because there's going to be so much going on. There's going to be theater and concerts and dancing and book signings and all sorts of great stuff happening. So I hope that you get to check out the arts, especially during this holiday season. And I hope to see you out and about this holiday season, because I am very, very thankful for all the arts that we have up here in this area. And I'm especially thankful for my guest this evening, Brian Radzin. I want to thank the North Coast Repertory Theater for allowing us to film on their stage in the process of putting together the set for How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. And all of the artists that come together to make arts alive such a wonderful and special occasion in Eureka. Don't forget, there are many other different arts alives happening, because that's where a great, crazy, creative, artistic place we live in. I'm so pleased to call this my home, and I hope you are all too. I'm very thankful to live in Humboldt County. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, everybody, and I will see you out and about. Until next time, have a great night and happy Thanksgiving.
This has been a Beaver Street production.
Hot damn!